Welcome to Keep It 100 Podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Join us in this space where we take on real issues with real insight and real inspiration. This podcast is for those not looking for temporary relief to change circumstance, but revelation to forever change lives.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Keep It 100 with Sean and Krista Smith.
Welcome, welcome everybody.
Hey, we love our time with our Keep 100 tribe and thanks always for tuning in and downloading. So many of you have been referring this podcast and sharing it. We're just seeing it. We're seeing an increase of downloads, super exciting. We're seeing what God's doing. And so thanks so much for just being a part of the Keep 100 tribe. We love meeting you on the road. We have so many people that come up to us and are like, we're a part of the Keep 100 tribe. And so keep introducing yourself as we travel around the nation and the nations. We love our Keep 100 tribe, and it's just so cool to connect with you. And so we're so excited about what God's doing right now because we got some cool announcements, don't we, baby?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. This coming November, so mark your calendars, November 22nd, 23rd, we are doing our next masterclass. And our masterclass is Revival and Evangelism Masterclass. Kind of our tagline for it is Raising Laborers, Releasing Legacy. And we're so excited about it because we believe that evangelism and revival are married. And we believe as God moves in an unprecedented way, which we are here in the cusp of it. And we are seeing God move all over our area, all over the nation, all over the nations. We really believe that the two go hand in hand.
Yes, absolutely. And this Revival and Evangelism Masterclass is so significant. If you understand the formats of our masterclass, it's not a conference. It's break out your notebook, get out your notepad app on your smartphone and take notes. And we're bringing in people that are doing an aspect of ministry. And the Lord spoke to us to do this thing based on Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, that the fivefold ministry for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. So this one, we're going to bring in Jesse Green, who has been used, her and her husband Parker, to literally bring a revival of water baptisms. She's done it on the beaches of the Pacific Ocean. She's done it in Times Square, New York. She's done it in the UK. And it's just incredible how many people get saved on the spot and want to get water baptized. And we talked about water baptism last episode. You may want to listen to it because it really is a resurgence of it. And also we're going to have Ben Hughes, and he was used, he and his wife, in revival in Australia. They've relocated to Texas area. They are revivalists, but the guy is a soul winner. So many people, you struggle with, getting over your fears. You feel like the conversation of bringing up your faith is awkward, or you don't know, but you have a desire to see people get saved. Come to this, get the word out, bring your church staff, bring your small group, bring your family, bring your mom, bring your dad. Hey, come on out and join us. And again, these dates are
November 22nd and 23rd. And I want to encourage you, if you're a pastor, a leader, and you really want your congregation, your people, maybe some of the key staff to come and get trained up specifically in the area of revival and evangelism, you want to get a fresh wind of what God's doing, but you also want to be ignited to believe for a move of God in your region. If you've grown a bit hopeless, if you need a reminder that God wants to move mightily in your region, come to this masterclass. If you want to get trained and equipped in real practicals. We're going to be talking about how to overcome fear when sharing the gospel. We're going to talk about prophetic evangelism. We're going to get a heart for the lost. We're going to get a heart for souls. We're going to have an impartation. We're going to move in the Holy Ghost. We're going to prophesy. It's going to be a powerful time. And the emphasis is teaching. The emphasis is equipping. The emphasis is training. But you're also going to get so much personal ministry. And it's going to be at Dublin. We'll put all the information if you want to know what airport to fly into, if you want to know what hotel to stay in, if you kind of want to know the schedule and again the heartbeat and the vision of what we're doing, go to seanandchristasmith.com, look up Revival and Evangelism Masterclass, and on our landing page it will have all the information. And if by chance there's anything you don't see there that you need answers to, reach out to our office and we're happy to help you.
Hey, we're excited because also this Friday here in a couple of days we are having our Momentum Night. Now our Revival and Evangelism Masterclass, that is a paid event, but we do monthly gatherings called Momentum Nights. This is free. We're meeting in Oakland, California.
Come on,
which
Oakland.
I'm super excited about. Yeah. Oakland, Sequoia Community Church. We've been seeing God do great things. There's been so many deliverances, so many people just getting breakthroughs, so many people getting healed. There's been salvations. You want to get out there. It's an incredibly rabid, radical group. And so join us. It's at 7 o'clock this Friday, September 6th.
Yep. 7 o'clock, totally free. Oakland. It's going to be a Sequoia Community Church. Jump on our social media. Again, you'll find all the information, free event. We have been having unprecedented move of God, truly so much deliverance, so much freedom, so much impartation, prophetic ministry. People are truly getting their lives changed, and that's not an overpromise. It really is happening, and that's because God's in the room. This Friday, September 6th, get there.
Revival's happening in the Bay, y'all. It's at 4292 Keller Avenue, Oakland, California. Hey, I'm super excited about this episode. We're going to jump into a conversation interview a little bit later, but we're talking about the seduction of social media. And the irony is, I guess podcasts would be considered in that category. And we just want to establish the fact we believe it could be used for godly purposes and that the Lord does want to redeem it as an avenue. It in and of itself is amoral. It's neither immoral or moral. It just depends on the voice that's going forth. And really, when I think about social media, boo, I think the first issue with social media that challenges us is sometimes it presents a false idea and a false representation of what others want to see. And so then we morph into what we feel the algorithm will put us in front of, or the people will click like on. We're inundated with these pictures, with these quick little videos that constitute this highlight reel of people's lives. And then we feel like we have to morph into it. And so it really is this false idea and false representation that people feel that they, in the word is strong, but you feel like you have to bow to. And so there could be a seduction in social media. And so it's something you just have to be aware of.
It's really true. You know, I'm sure many of us have noticed, and you as a listener, certainly myself at times, there's times I've had to put down social media or just like take a break from it. Because if you're not careful, it can create such a narrative of what you should have or what your life should look like or how you should be dressing, what you should believe or, you know, how you should vote or different things. And you have to sit there and go, okay, does this line up with the word of God?
Well,
what does the scripture say? And when you start feeling a peer pressure, and even if it's quiet and subtle, but you kind of feel yourself kind of feeling like, okay, I need to make these decisions or I need to do this thing or that thing. All of a sudden you kind of realize, and we've talked about this, you're like, hold on, I need a break. Like, this is not the gospel. Social media is not the gospel. Public opinion and even public majority opinion, even in the Christian world, that's not the gospel.
Right.
The only scripture is a gospel. And if you're not careful, social media can breed jealousy, comparison, insecurity. And what I've noticed is a discontentment. And you have to be really careful with discontentment connected with social media, because all people are showing, and Sean used to always say this, and it's so true, social media shows the highlight reels of people's lives, but it doesn't show you the bloopers. It doesn't show you the valleys. I mean, maybe some valleys people are vulnerable about, but it's really the highlight reels. But there's a lot of life lived that isn't like on Instagram. And you have to really realize that it isn't all that, that everyone has a battle. Everyone has a valley they're, you know, pressing through. Everyone has breakthrough. Everyone has answered prayers. Everyone's waiting for something. Everyone's still believing, right? Everyone, right? And so we don't always communicate that. It's not always seen. And if you're not careful, when you're only seeing the highlight reels, you can kind of go, man, what's wrong with my life? Or God doesn't care about me? Or why is God coming through for them and God's not coming through for me? And it's like, it's such a skewed perspective, social media. And although there are positive things about it, of course, we have to really understand that we have to be rooted and grounded in God, His word. And when you feel yourself having that pull of insecurity, that pull of comparison, that pull of discontentment, put your phone down, put social media down, put your laptop down, because God has blessed you right where you're at. And many times we have to focus on what God is doing, not what's not happening, in order for our perspective to be in alignment with God's spirit.
You know, it's so true. I think the tempting nature of social media platforms is, you described, there's a pull, and you get so pulled into that. It's funny, you know, kind of a running joke is you see these guys that they're 42 and they're gamers and they've got their headphones on, they're in their mother's basement, and they're in this world. I think the same is true kind of with social media, is that it can pull you into this world of the World Wide Web that you forget that you have a physical life, you have a physical nature, there's a physical world, and that, you know, all the different achievements of trying to get a like here and getting comments here and trying to get one up on an argument on somebody on this thread, all of that in the big scheme of things doesn't really accomplish much. And so after you look at it, you've spent your time scrolling or commenting or liking or doing all the emojis, and you spent hours on something when if you would have just simply turned that into reading the Bible, praying, even learning some sort of, you know, skill, your life could be different 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, maybe even a year down the line. And so I think it's a sobriety when you recognize how many, if you hear the stats, how many people get sucked into social media, and there is an obvious seduction.
No, it's really true. And I think that we have to understand that social media can really foster either a party line spirit where you're like, I'm with the majority, like I'm with these group of people, versus that prophetic call as a body body of Christ that we're called to be in this hour. And I think when you're prophetic, you really have to guard. And I know purposely, and this might sound kind of strange, I purposely don't really listen to what a lot of other prophetic voices are saying, because I really want to guard the purity of the prophetic flow in my life. And it doesn't mean I don't hear. Of course, we're in prophetic roundtables, we're in prophetic companies, and we gather and we share yes. with one another what God is saying. But I'm also really careful to not allow the prophetic within me. And I want to encourage you, Keep One Hundred Tribe. Every one of us have the ability to hear God's voice. And that can't be skewed by a party line. It can't be skewed by the majority's opinion. And to keep it pure, there has to be this prophetic plumb line that we live with. And it has to be one with purity.
Yes. And right before we go into the interview, I would throw in one more thing, Chris. It's one of those things that early on as a young single believer, when I first got saved, I'd meditate on this passage in the scriptures, Proverbs 5:3. It says, "For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil." And so we just talk about the honey dripping mouth. And so I feel like social media, there is the immoral woman dripping honey. And the other aspect of the seduction of social media is some of these people, they're doing these selfies. And in the midst of the selfie, there is this sexual, scantily clad, it's male and female. Guys, you're in the gym, you're trying to show your muscles, and you got your little, I don't know, Speedo trunks on, like who works out in that? Or some of the girls, you trying to get in some sort of video or something like that. I mean, they're dressing like that. And just others that they're casting a longing out on social media. And it's just kind of a subtle way for them to try to get somebody to swipe left without going on one of the dating apps. Mm. And so it is the immoral woman dripping honey. And sometimes it's not even the heart of people to try to bring a bondage in someone else's life. They just want companionship. They're created that way. But you have to understand the enemy will piggyback that. And then before you know it, it's like you're dripping honey when you should be dripping oil.
I tell you what, if you're thirsty for man's attention, get thirsty for God's affection. Because the reality is there are thirst traps all around us, but you got to aim your appetite toward the eternal. Whew, come on now, right?
Yes.
Hey, y'all, I'm so excited. We got an incredible interview today. And our special guest is Jason Mayfield. He is one of the pastors at Bethany Church in Decatur, Georgia. And he's just an incredible man of God. He's done some incredible things and God has used him mightily. And we're going to talk about kind of the thing that put him on the map virally. It's really cool. But this guy's a thinker. He's a strategist. God's given him incredible mind. We're excited for this conversation because I think it's going to provoke you really to dive into the things of God, but recognize that the strategy of the enemy is to use distraction to distract you. But God wants you to get really focused in the season and know who you are in him. Friends, get ready and Keep It 100 Tribe for an incredible conversation with Jason Mayfield.
Hey, Keep It 100 Tribe. We have Jason Mayfield here on the pod with us. He is one of the pastors at Calvary Assembly in Northern Alabama. I was just out there with them. Jason has got like some incredible things he's put his hands to. He's a very creative guy, critical thinker, something that I'm sure C.S. Lewis would say is missing in the modern church. He is fully Holy Ghost. And Jason, welcome to the podcast. Keep it 100, bro.
Sean, man, I appreciate you having me on here so much. I'm excited for us to hang out a little bit today.
Hey, man, us as well, man. We just had a great time when I flew down. Picked me up from the airport. You had to go back and get my luggage. I'll come in 54 or 53 minutes late to a service.
Yeah, it was crazy because you were supposed to be there like 2-3 hours earlier. And
right?
Then the flight just kept pushing back. So, you know, we need someone to sow a miracle seed for that Cessna today in Jesus' name.
Hey, come on, man. I know I missed my connection. And it was a travel day from HE Double Hockey Sticks, but we had a service from heaven. Man. So it was really good, bro. Give us, we love to talk about this on the Keep It 100. Tell us your origin story in MCU fashion. Obviously, they go into great detail now. And although people may have MCU fatigue, we never are fatigued at Keep It 100 hearing someone's origin story. So, hey, man, give it to us, Jason.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a first generation convert. I had gone to church a handful of times in my life with my grandmother, you know, various places. But for the most part, completely unchurched, completely uncultured in the church. God saved me miraculously, which is another story for another day, literally because someone was a lifeguard in our community pool. But after several years, I was saved into a Pentecostal church. I was saved into the charismatic movement. For whatever reason, there was a blockade between me and the supernatural. Just, I would, obviously, I would sense the presence of the Lord. I was aware. I mean, otherwise I probably wouldn't have hung around, but I was hungry and I just wasn't getting any results. And I actually had kind of given up seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was in a service in 2002 in Birmingham, Alabama, and I was in a balcony of a church where you were preaching, and I had made a decision that I wasn't going to respond to the altar, even though you explicitly gave a call for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, I think I'm done. I'm not going to respond. And I was standing in the balcony, just worshiping and watching and observing from the crow's nest, you know, and you said something on the platform. And in that balcony, without responding to the altar call, immediately rivers of living water began to flow out of me. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit right there in the balcony. It was amazing. And I've never been the same.
I love that, bro. I love that. You know what's so cool about that is, you know, there's some, I'll call them gentlemen out there that have come out with a movie Sensationist or Sensationism. And obviously kind of like a new school of that, kind of based on a pastor in Southern California in the state that I live in down there that has put on some anti-charismatic. I love the fact that you were skeptical somewhat, struggled a little bit with it. First generation, you're sitting up in a balcony. You can't say somebody got you to an altar and forced something on you and told you to say, you know, some sort of gibberish or whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm actively not participating in it. You know what I mean?
I love that. Come on, somebody. That just proves, and if those of you listening to Sensationism, people think that kind of like when the last apostle died on the island of Patmos, John, that all the gifts kind of were closed indefinitely and the perfect came when Jesus came. Although we know Jesus is perfect, we need his gifts to build his church until the perfection of the new creation, new earth comes. And so anyway, that's a whole nother category. Did you want to say something about that, bro?
I'll tell you, I love these guys, but I mean, to some extent, every time a documentary comes out, I'm finding out stuff I'm not supposed to have. I'm not supposed to have money. I'm not supposed to have power. What am I supposed to do ministry with? I mean, I don't know what to work with over here. What's the seed here?
Oh man, I love the way you describe that. That's true, man. Hey, Jason, you're there in Northern Alabama, but before that, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were in Florida. Is that right? Before that?
Yeah, we were living in Florida for the last 10 years. I was in pastoral ministry for the first decade, since 2004 to 2014, 2015, maybe 11 years. I was in pastoral ministry, but we'd been living in Florida until we came up here, really traveling, doing a lot of internet stuff. But we also have some businesses that were, you know, paying the bills. So I have that other money. I always tell preachers, I say, get a little bit of that other money because it's good. It'll keep you honest. Amen.
I love that. Hey, that other money. Hey, talk to us. What is it that you're seeing now? I mean, one, what are you seeing in a local setting? And then what do you sense maybe even on a more of an extra local setting as it relates to the church at large?
Yeah, I mean, at the local setting, I think, you know, every church is walking through a challenge of self-awareness at all times. I think self-awareness in, you know, as a person, but also as an organization, you know, organizational awareness is one of our greatest assets in growth. It's one of our greatest assets in maturity. It's one of our greatest assets in effectiveness. And, you know, when Jesus talked about prophets, albeit he was in the context of false prophets, but he gave us a scale to evaluate false prophets and real prophets. He said, you will know them by their fruit. Now, we use that to throw at like people who we don't like how they're behaving, you know, but we do this because, you know, homie just messed with me. And now all of a sudden I'm going, well, hey, I've seen his fruit. No,
right.
When Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit, he was specifically talking about the prophetic gift. He was talking about the priest. He was talking about teachers. So at some point, we're all in a challenge right now to look at what we're producing and say, are we being effective? Now, on the macro level of that, the at large, we have a lot of work to do as a local church, our local church, the local church in general, because the reason we're back in this mode, I was not going to go back into pastoral ministry. It was not on my radar at all. But 18 months ago, maybe a little more now, I was in prayer. I was reading scripture one morning, praying, and I had been feeling a ramp up in my spirit that there was something happening. But one morning, just overwhelmingly, I heard from the Lord that in the next 18 to 36 months, there would be another great outpouring of his presence and power and a great revival visitation. And wow. So I had this come. I had 18 to 36 months. I will let you know, as best I can tell the calendar, we have or are just about to enter that 18-month marker.
Oh, I love that.
So I'm excited about this, but I started to do some study. I started to go back through church history. I started to read some of our Pentecostal historians that look at the whole 2,000 years of the church and not just the 1900s. But as best as we can tell, about every 25 to 40 years, there is some major outpouring of the power of God somewhere in the world that is, I mean, earth shaking. And so when I started to sense this and then I did that study, you know, if we were to look at our current church history, which by the way, that 25 year marker, you see that all through the 20th century, the 1900s. But the last great move of God really came to a close, if we were being totally honest, probably 21, 22 years ago right now, which means not only did I get a word from God, but if we just put it on a spreadsheet, the spreadsheet tells us that we are about due for a massive holy visitation, some type of reawakening in the nation and in the world.
Oh, bro, I love that. Man, our hearts, Krista and I, burn for revival. I absolutely feel the same thing, man. I've seen these reports of these Ohio State football players sharing their testimony, and then all these conversions and water baptisms and all this kind of stuff. There are signs. And, you know, it's this thing that as it plays out so often is this pendulum swing that all of a sudden you see it in Judges, you know, that they plunge themselves in idolatry. And then, of course, the oppression comes and lands as amidst of really the fruit of their decisions and yes, judgment. And then all of a sudden, God raises up a deliverer. And you see at least 6 to 8 cycles that theologians would tell you, judges that were raised up. But I kind of feel like your number and your understanding of how that happens, I think that's very accurate. And the more I talk to people, the more I'm hearing the same thing. Everyone is sensing that God is doing something. And I love to say, you know, you can focus on the advent of the Third World War, or you can focus on the advent of the Third Great Awakening. Historically, stuff like that runs concurrent. There's a concurrent thing of outpouring and craziness outbreaking. You know?
Yeah, people forget what the theologian Charles Dickens said. It was the best of times and the worst of times, you know?
I love that, bro.
And things are getting worse and worse, and they're getting better and better. You just mentioned Ohio State, which I haven't heard of that happening, but I will just say to anybody who's listening, one of the things that I noticed through that study, just to keep you encouraged, is you'll hear about little things happening. There will be small fires that pop up. For instance, right after, literally 2 weeks after the Lord spoke to me, the Asbury thing in Kentucky happened.
Come on, man.
And so I thought, initially, I thought, is my timeline off? But I was in the middle of the study when I was doing it. And whenever there's something major, whenever there's a major outpouring, there are typically minor outpourings that are happening. There's some type of fire that's coming.
Hey, Jason, let's just talk about this thought of kind of the seduction of social media.
Well, I'll tell you, if you were to look at me in the big scheme of social media platform, I'm not anything grand. If you look at me in the realm of preachers on social media, I'm doing pretty good. In fact, between me and my wife, all of our income comes some way, shape, or form as the result of what we do on social media.
Wow, but, come on now.
But for us, we've had some success there, and we'll talk about that in a moment. I think part of the dark side of social media, though, is, I mean, and this is something that we just even have to understand. These platforms in general, whether you're building a following or you're just watching and being entertained, they are designed to manipulate the dopamine in your body.
Ooh,
these are dopamine machines. And so whether you're just watching people, there's a dopamine effect. But if you're building a following, there is great dopamine. And I will tell you that when you're very into social media, I'm not talking about it being peripheral, but I'm talking about when you're there and that's your world. And for a long time, that has been a major focus for me. Your life and your day can be shaped very quickly by views going up, views going down, subscribers going up, subscribers going down, good comments coming in, bad comments coming in. That can affect you quickly.
Say that.
And that will take control of you. And I think part of the trap that we fall into in social media, because it is geared by algorithms, it is geared by response. And by the way, here is something. If you're out there and you're making YouTube videos or you're making social media content, you're getting a lot of negative feedback, I do want to encourage you. Remember that that's not just because everybody hates what you're doing. It's because the algorithm is putting it in front of a certain type of person. So it's not that you're in front of people who should like like you, and they don't like if I go to my church every week and people stare at me with a growl on their face, certainly I should be concerned to some degree, unless I've just been called to cast some devil out of that church. But in a normal, healthy church situation, I should be getting pretty positive feedback every week when I look at the faces of people. Social media doesn't operate that way. The algorithm on social media can put you in front of people who just hate your guts. And that's, you're getting the response that the algorithm is dictating. So don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Keep plowing away. You'll get in front of the right people at the right time. But the dark side of this is when we start to give authority to the algorithm, when we start to follow that need for dopamine, when we start to follow that need for validation or success, or at some point it even turns into money. Yes. I need X amount of this, so I'm having X amount of income. I have to sustain what this is giving me. There is a point where we can be led by all the wrong thing. And so my fear, and a little bit of what we've talked about before, is I fear that people are too willing to sacrifice their values,
yes,
for success on the internet or social media.
Yes.
And we'll give it up in a heartbeat. And here's the thing. Your values aren't necessarily what you believe. There are a lot of things. And listen, I may get a little pushback on this, but that's okay, because I've been on social media and the wrong algorithm before. Amen. I'm prepared. But there are moments where, like, we might believe something, but the full proclamation of that belief does not necessarily align with our values. Mm. My value on social media is not to let everybody know everything I think. It is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's to help people become more in their faith journey with Jesus Christ. It's to help people go to the next level. And so there might be some stuff I believe that does not help me get where I need to go in that value. And so I think when we get to the internet, we have to be more selective in what we talk about, you know. But there's this like debate between people. There are people who are actively engaged in conversations online on whether or not we went to the moon or whether or not it was shot in a room, whether or not the earth is spherical or flat, whether or not we went to the moon or not, and what happened with JFK. What would that have been, 60 years ago at this point? None of them affects you. None of it.
Right, right. It's
it
true.
Changes nothing. Your life is still what it is. And there's, at some point, I'm talking about the supremacy of Jesus Christ in a message soon. At some point, man, we have to make sure that every thought and belief, every doctrine, every opinion is not all sitting at the same level. Things have to be in order. Things have to be submitted to one another. But Hebrews 7:7 says, it is without dispute that the lesser is blessed by the greater. So long as I'm putting some nonsense that doesn't help anybody out in front of the things that I have, we are walking around with eternal life to give people. We as charismatics and Pentecostals, we're walking around with power to give people. And we're having conversations and arguments about things that we can't do anything about. And if we could, wouldn't change anything.
Facts. I'm with you. Hey, Jason, you know what? Man, I mean, you're hitting on so many great things. I've noticed, obviously, in this term, there's certain eras and movements that gives us new terminology. And obviously, the new terminology, it's been around for a while. It's not new. Clickbait. And what they almost have to do is, because I think so much of social media, there are two major things that I think are deficits. Number one, it encourages people to say stuff that's better left unsaid. Like, if you didn't have that, you wouldn't bring that up in a conversation. Like, some of the pettiness you're talking about. And like you said, I love that. It's petty, it's trivial. And when trivial things become imperative things, that means imperative things become trivialized. I mean, that's just the way it works. And so I was thinking about this and I found a scripture today, man, on this thing of, you know, a compulsion to share things is better left unsaid. And then there's a couple of thoughts. The second thing is that I think it encourages a party spirit. And that's important as we're heading towards this election, that people have to jump on the side. And that's almost the way social media is presented. It's presented like, hey, find out dirt on this person. Click here. You know, hey, did you know so-and-so? And how... I say over half the stuff now is lying. Like whatever's in the title, they don't even address it. They don't even, they don't even deliver. They'll put fake people's faces on it like they had a conversation and it's some joker, you know, doing a blog from a basement.
His bedroom. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And well, then you know, here's this final thing. And I'm going to pitch it right back to you. I want to give you this scripture, I think the other thing it does is it's subtle, but it draws us into, you know, that kind of voyeuristic peeping Tom, or where we're trying to get in other people's business. And it's almost like if your neighbor was staring in your room, like in your house, your bedroom, whatever, you would say something's wrong with that. But how people would just hover over folks' Instagram, or their TikTok, their X, some of the older generation, their Facebook, and just, and so here's a scripture, and then I want to pitch it right back to you. It says in Job 31:9, it says, if my heart had been enticed by a woman. Okay, so that's not the part we're talking about tonight. This is not the subject on online porn, but here's the other one. It says, or if I lurk at my neighbor's door, and then verse 12 says, for that would be a fire that consumes to destruction and root out all my increase. In other words, that thing is that if I'm lurking at my neighbor's door, it roots out my increase. All that time I'm spending trying to find out, and it's endless. You've seen these things, you click on it, and then they bring you through all these advertisements, and you got to click again. Before you know it, you've lost all this time over trivia things, man. I love what you're saying. Go ahead, keep speaking.
Which is
bro.
So, it's so interesting you say that. But one of the things that some really popular YouTubers, really successful YouTubers have come out and said recently is one of the things that you have to do early on to really have success is stop watching YouTube.
Wow.
They said all you do is you sit around and consume content and you never go out and create the content. So you have to be creator. But back to what you were saying, like, almost like a flagrant, you know, and some of it's not even clickbait being the issue, which it certainly is. But a lot of it comes down to, why are we talking about this? I can make this video and get views, but what does it profit us? You know, I think just that line, what does it profit a man? That's a great question just to ask. What does it profit a man? And I think recently, you know, I really saw this, and I'm sensitive to things happening on the internet because of my involvement. The thing I'm going to mention is obviously horrific. It should have been revealed. It should have come out much sooner than it did. But just recently, there was this issue that came out with Robert Morris. And right. I'm using that language. I'm not trying to get down. I guess I should just say what it is. He came out. He was a pedophile is what came out. And this is terrible. And my hope is that every pedophile in the kingdom would be rooted out.
Right.
I don't want anybody in the church doing that unknown. I want everyone to be exposed. I want the sheep pulled off everybody doing that. However, there was a point somewhere around 87 YouTubers releasing a video about it that I start going, how many videos do we need about this?
Right.
And I will tell you, I wrote a message and I haven't preached it yet because it's got to be in the right place. But you know what I never saw anybody put out? I saw a lot of people put out videos about what he did. I saw a lot of people put out videos about how bad it is, how we should never let him preach again, how he should never be allowed to pastor again. I saw a lot of videos talking about how bad it is for him. I never saw a video talking about how to deal with this when it impacts you at such a level that your preacher or some preacher that you look at fail. How do you keep the faith when the people you trust in the ministry are falling? And I don't know. That kind of sounds valuable to me. I don't really need 150 videos telling me what Robert Morris did, but I could use a handful of videos that tell me, how do I keep my faith from being shipwrecked just because somebody else did something stupid?
I love that. I love that.
What does it profit a man?
Hey, and here's the thing. At the end of the day, it has to be controversial, like, because to draw you in your middle of the road. So it's like, they're not there to shepherd you. They're there to shock you. They're not there to pastor you. They're there to fleshly provoke you because they want that. And in that, man, it creates this environment where the Bible says, right, be quick to listen, slow to speak. What does social media do? You're quick to speak.
Quick to speak.
And you're not listening. You can't hear anybody. You're already thinking about your argument in your head. Great communication, when they talk about marriage communication or interpersonal communication, they tell you, make sure you're listening to the person talking, not thinking about what you're going to say next. But, you know, it is just the opposite. And so in that, man, it's kind of that they had this thing where it was in New York City, where it was a while back, where like a number of teenage youth hit this jogger over the head with a pipe. They knocked her down. They beat her bad, tore off her clothes, and they raped her. And so the guy kind of called it, there was a better name for it, but essentially what he was calling it was the crowd syndrome. In other words, no one person Jefferson would have done all of that. None of those kids would have done all that alone. They were each emboldened by the guy in front of them. Like, oh man, you hit her in the head. Oh man, then I'm a puncher. Oh, you punched her. I'm going to tear her clothes off. Will you tear her clothes off? I'm going to rape her. And it's tragic. And these guys were apprehended. And I think, you know, justice, it seems like it prevailed. But this wilding that takes place, not just in Central Park, it takes place on social media because we kind of keep seeing it build. And so now you got preachers and spiritual leaders or churchgoers that feel like they have to have the latest take, the first take. They got to have the most controversial thing because they're trying to build. And all of a sudden, instead of, in a truest sense, instead of Christ being king, their content becomes king. So now I've got to make up content, man. I mean, what do you think about that? You have any thoughts?
No, I mean, that's why I think, you know, and we didn't see it so much years ago, but like now, whenever someone launches, especially like on YouTube or something, and I see it with preachers mostly. I mean, when they launch, their channel is immediately like some type of watchdog channel.
Look,
I'm not saying that we shouldn't have people out here who are keeping thumbs on what's going on and tabs on what, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't raise a flag. In fact, I got a word from the Lord on that. You probably remember when Saul had heard that David had come by the priest and eaten the bread and they had fled. That was the first lead that Saul had for David. They go to the priest at Nob, and Saul is so angry. He looks at the men of Israel. He looks at the valiant warriors he has with him, and he says, kill this priest. And essentially, all of his military guys look at him and go,
right,
you know, we love you. We respect you. We appreciate you. We serve at the pleasure of the king. But I'm going to be honest with you. Killing the priest just feels like a bridge too far.
Right,
it feels
right,
like too much. And then he turns and he looks at a man. His name was Doeg the Edomite.
Right.
And he says, then you do it. And Doeg goes and he kills the priest. And I think it was 80 people who wore the ephod and all of the women and the children and the livestock that were in the city of Nob for the priest. And he kills all. It's an all out assault on the anointing.
Yes.
And the Lord began to show me about this Doeg spirit that is rising up in the church right now. That's creating a blockade from people receiving in churches. And while I'm grateful for the advent of YouTube, we have to be careful. We have to be careful about what we put out. We have to be careful about what we consume. Because what happens is your pastor's getting 30 minutes to an hour with you every week of talking and preaching and delivering, which, by the way, he's only getting to do 52 times, and you're only showing up for 26 of them. I'm sorry, I'm just going to call it like I see it for a moment. And so we're barely listening to the pastor at all. But every time he opens his mouth, we can go home and we can watch hours and hours and hours and hours of content from people who have no quantifiable anointing and certainly no qualifiable certification to share that opinion. And they can say whatever they want. They can give you any feedback they want. And then you go back to church the next week. And rather than being able to receive from the person who is sitting in the seat of the anointing, the Doeg spirit has come out and said, I'm going to keep you from receiving. If you study Doeg, he's very interesting. If you start to look at Jewish midrashes, and Doeg was actually apparently very involved in the relationship between Saul and David. Doeg was the one who actually suggested that Saul bring David in to play the harp for him. But if you look at the way that that was sold to Saul, Saul is under a tormenting spirit.
That's
and
right.
The person, assumingly Doeg, who tells Saul to bring this young man into play, he's saying, hey, he's strong. He's a man of valor. Look at all this stuff he can do. He's got a good report. He's talking about how great David is while Saul is he was putting a seed in Saul for the moment where Saul heard Saul has killed his thousands, but David has hurt his tens of thousands. That's not the first time Saul thought about that. He'd been thinking about it since Doeg put it in his mind. He put a seed of doubt around David early on. It's this spirit that tries to keep the anointing from being able to have any effect in our life. But if I want real transformation, if I want my life to go to another level, I've got to get around the anointing. I have to receive from the anointing. I can't get the anointing if I'm not open to the anointing. So if I want the anointed edge on my life, be able to win and succeed, I've got to be positioned to receive.
Yes, man. Bro, I think you nailed it. I think we've come almost full circle on this. I think with social media, I love it, man. I think it's a Doeg spirit. I love this. Trying to stands up to slay the prophetic, like you said, the watchdogs is getting on, that spirit that tries to criticize your pastor, the church, and people are listening to it. It's a comparison thing. Saul, you only killed thousands. David, tens of thousands. Probably that Doeg, according to those Jewish traditions that would turn it. I love that. And, you know, I think, although I'm all for our identity in Christ, I think social media creates an exaggerated sense of self-importance that people think, oh, I got some more likes. So, man, what I'm saying or who I am, as opposed to, you know, Paul talking about to not think of yourself more highly than you ought, to think soberly as God, to dealt to each one a measure of faith. And this whole thing too, and I think this plays a part as well, is Jesus talked about, don't do your righteous acts before men to be seen by men. You'll get your reward from that. And I almost wonder if, and again, I think use social media, leverage short testimonies. You could sense that there's some people, they're airing their righteous or in some instances religious deeds before the social media world, and you're getting your reward there. And your reward, I love what you said, is a dopamine hit. There was this guy who wrote this book, a bestseller, New York Times bestseller, but he basically said, trigger, there's this desire and there's this action. And you can see social media, people are being triggered based on, you know, the things that they're seeing and everything else. Hey, Jason, that would segue towards, come on, in 2020, at a time when COVID was like heyday, CDC was putting out things. We're in California, so we're getting some unique stuff from our governor at the time.
And we were in Florida. So, you know, we were going to the grocery store.
Oh, man. See, I'm major jealous. Major jealous, man. I feel a Doeg spirit coming on me, bro. And the cool thing is this latter part that we'll hit really is kind of the RX prescription for some of the excesses, as it relates to social media. Tell us, man, what happened in 2020 and how has this thing gone viral for you? I'll let you talk about it.
Yeah. So the interesting niche that I found myself in on the internet, for whatever reason, was talking about Bibles and Bible tools and products. And so a lot of how I blew up on the internet, I mean, we're talking overnight. I went from making little teaching videos to I made a video off the cuff and just it started snowballing. Today, it's still one of my largest viewed video or most viewed videos.
Hey, and, now let me back up, not to interrupt you, but just to highlight, you blew up putting out social media on getting in the Bible. Oh my goodness,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. And it's a real interesting niche, and I appreciate it more today because I know people who are in it. But I was talking literally about physical Bibles and like pens and tools that you could use to read your Bible. After doing that for a couple of years, I was well established in the algorithm. I put out a Bible reading plan. I really thought like 20 people were going to download. I called it Tear Up Your Bible. And the reason that I did that is Charles Spurgeon has a great quote. He says that a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. And so I just wanted to get it. Instead of waiting for my Bible to fall apart, I thought, let's just get it active in there. Let's get in it. Let's write in
it.
Let's go for it and tear it up. We won't wait on
it. Come on.
We'll just go ahead and tear it up. So I called it the Tear Up Your Bible reading plan. And the next thing I knew, man, people just started downloading this plan. And it was like rapid fire. And over that first year, we probably had, I mean, in that first year, about 50,000 people do it. And it was on YouVersion and people were downloading it. It just caught on. And people were really blessed by it. And so we did a few iterations, but over the next few years, we've had over 100,000 people read it.
Wow.
74% of the people who have done the Bible reading plan have said it's the most helpful Bible reading plan they've ever done. And so this plan is designed to help people who are habitual plan quitters who do get bored. I didn't make it for people. I released plans that I'd made for myself. After I'd read the Bible 10 times or so, I realized the patterns where I would lose long-term vigor for the scripture. And so I kind of built it around my own proclivities in that way. And it seemed to have helped a ton of people. But I will tell you, Sean, Bible reading is huge. There's been over the last couple of years, we saw a spike when COVID hit. The trade-off, and nobody talks about this, the trade-off with the lockdowns and the lower church attendance was that Bible reading actually went through the roof. Because, you know, when there's a pandemic coming, everybody kind of starts to look towards mountains in Jerusalem all of a sudden and go, is something about to happen. And following 2020, over 26 million people have just stopped reading the Bible virtually overnight. They're just quitting. They're just giving up on it. And that's a big problem, because people who do not engage with the Bible regularly were surveyed. And in that survey, 67% of people who do not read the Bible regularly said that God is not all powerful.
Wow.
So when we don't engage with the scripture, if we don't engage, we are susceptible to be deceived at the most fundamental levels. Like I said earlier, Hebrews 7:7 says that it is without dispute that the lesser is blessed by the greater. All the information in your person, all of the content you take in, all of the thoughts and opinions that you have, you want it to be blessed by the greater, not by the lesser, not by, I'm glad you're listening to the Keep It 100 podcast, but what I want you to be blessed by the greater. I'm glad that you might decide to go follow me on YouTube, but you got to be blessed by the greater. I think it's great if you want to attend a conference or a revival service, but you got to stay blessed by the greater. And so we want to make sure that people are engaged. And that's what happened.
Hey, when he's referring to the greater people that are just listening to the podcast, he's holding up the literal Bible, pointing at the Bible. What would you say to someone, Jason, that has had difficulties in the area of their discipline? They just kind of feel like they're a bit unfocused in their spiritual walk, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. I always say you can't stay stationary standing on a downward escalator. You have to overcome the downward momentum. And that's what it is to go after God. What would you say to those?
Well, I would say two things. I would say oftentimes, though, I do believe that the enemy actively wants to keep you away from these things. I believe the enemy wants to keep you out of prayer. I believe the enemy wants to keep you out of the word. At the same time, I don't want to fight one enemy if I have many. I can't let everything else attack me because I'm focused on one enemy. So yes, there is a supernatural opposition to you getting into these things. But honestly, habit forming is just difficult. If the devil didn't even exist, habit forming is difficult. And you actually mentioned a quote from it a moment ago. James Clear wrote a book called Atomic Habit. To my knowledge, he's not a born again believer. I hope that he is. And if he is, that book was anointed. Hallelujah. But Atomic Habits is probably the best book that I've ever read about spiritual disciplines that has nothing to do with spiritual disciplines.
Wow.
About simply creating these small habits. A little bit is better than nothing. You know, if you pray 7 minutes a day, that's over an hour a week. And so by the end of a month, you've spent 4 hours dedicated to prayer just by praying 4 or 7 minutes a day. Breaking down into tiny habits that you get start with is super important. Do not underestimate the power of reading one chapter or reading the Bible in a year and a half. Don't underestimate the power of this. The other piece that I would say is people read the Bible the first time. And this is the thing I hear back all the time is, well, I'm reading, I'm just not getting anything out of it. And I would encourage everybody to go to the scripture. And it's easy. And this is all stuff that I believe, but we also have to eat our vegetables with our dessert a little bit here. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. In fact, I wrote a book, and we weren't talking about this. It is available on tearupyourbible.com. I wrote a book called Hear to Hear that goes through the 4 levels that every believer can hear from the Lord, but they're progressive and they come in time. So we hear a lot of, well, I'm reading it and I'm not getting anything, because we have an expectation that we open the Bible and the Holy Ghost grips us and speaks to it. But the reality is, the first time you read the Bible, the second time you read the Bible, you really have to manage your expectation. You probably aren't going to get a lot. What you're going to get is a lay of the land. But I'll tell you, and I write about this in Here to Hear, if you can figure out a way to lock down the discipline to read the Bible 3 times, nobody wants to talk about it taking years to do. But if you can do 3 times, if you can read fast, you can do this. I have a plan that's available on my website. It's also available in the book Here to Hear for 420 days, a little over 14 months, 420 days, read the Bible 3 times relatively quickly. I promise the first time you read the Bible, you will go, okay, there Noah is. You'll just put everybody in their place. The second time you read the Bible, you'll start to go, okay, this is making sense. And the third time you read the Bible, it will be like someone came into your room, turned a black light on, and all of this stuff came off the page that you never saw before. If you can get to your 4th, 5th, 10th, 15th, 20th, 25th time of reading the Bible, I promise you will flow in so much revelation that you will hardly know what to do with yourself. In fact, man, the Bible talks about this in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or imagine." We have a tendency to look at that verse and think that it's talking about prayer. So I'll pray and I'll ask God to do something. And guess what? He's going to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or imagine. The problem with that is it doesn't match any account of any prayer or request of the Lord ever in Scripture. The Lord pretty much follows the pattern of "be it unto you according to your word." That's how the Lord answers prayer. If you pray for something, God will answer it according to what you ask. But if you back up to what it's saying there, I'm just going to read it to you real quick. But listen to this.
Ephesians
chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you," catch this, "to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love," listen to this, "may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ." Now listen, here's the line. "That surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us." What he's saying here is he's saying, by the power of the Holy Ghost, you will have the strength and the ability to comprehend that which surpasses knowledge. In other words, he's saying you're going to be able to comprehend what you can't comprehend. You're going to be able to know what you can't know. You're going to be able to understand what you can't understand. You're going to have a sense and an understanding inside of you that will work on the inside of you that surpasses what you're able to articulate. It will be something you understand beyond any questions you can ask or anything that you can imagine be about it. This verse is about revelation. It's about you understanding. But I'm going to tell you, that's one of the highest levels of hearing from God. I call it exceeding abundant revelation, E-A-R, ear. "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." And so if you'll spend the time in the Scripture, if you'll go the distance, if you'll just get past that first part, if you'll go the distance, I promise you, you will operate at a level of revelation that you won't even be able to articulate. There's some stuff that I just know now. Psalm 112 verse 2, maybe 111 verse 2, it says, "Great are the works of the Lord, and those who love them search them out." They study them out. There will be a point where you don't just know what the word says, but you will get so familiar with the Lord by spending time in the Scripture that you'll start to know his character. You'll start to know what he likes. You'll start to know what he responds to. You'll start to know how he reacts to situations. It's one thing to know where my wife is going to be. It's another thing to know how she's going to respond when I show up. I'm telling you, that's revelation.
Hey, Jason, bro, you just went primeval, beast mode, anointed, go for it. Hey, Jason, kind of in conclusion, we love to do this. How can our viewers, our listeners, keep in touch with you?
Well, of course, you can find me at jasonmayfield.com. All of my books are available there. But if you want to do the Bible reading plan and you want to transform your life in the Scripture, visit tearupyourbible.com.
Hey, Jason, bro, thanks for jumping on the pod, Keeping 100.
Thanks so much. I loved it. I had a fun time.
That's awesome.
Woo. I mean, y'all, I told you he's a thinker. I told you God's given him incredible mind, his incredible perspective. I was not wrong, was I?
No, this guy really provoked me. And what I love is that we began talking about revival, and then we went with Jason, that is, we began talking about revival. Then we went to the seduction of social media, but we closed on just him being put on the map by God and favor on him to get people in the word.
I love that.
And we really feel like our Keeping 100 tribe knows us about our podcast is that Krista and I made a decision in terms of the objective and aim and end game that we were after. And we didn't just want to sit around with a coffee mug and just talk about our opinions. We wanted to see this podcast be a discipleship catalyst for people. And so I'm so glad that there was a challenge to get in the word. And he issued a challenge at the end. I just want to say this as we're going to conclude this podcast. I want to challenge you to begin to develop a Bible reading discipline, a regimen that you can read. Years ago, I had a guy that just in speaking said he read through the Bible every year. And that was over 30 years ago. And I took it upon myself. So for the past 30 years, I've read through the Bible every year. And I can't tell you just scripture that pops in my mind, stories, just things that God will bring back to remembrance. But I want to challenge you that if you will put the word in your heart, there's so many benefits, but I think of one scripture. It says, "I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Mm. That when you get that word in your heart, it becomes a firewall against iniquity.
Yeah. Thanks so much for tuning into the Keep It 100 podcast. Make sure to rate, review, and refer us to your friends. And be sure to click that subscribe button so that you're alerted as soon as new episodes drop. Help us get the the word out, share this link on your social media platforms, and check us out at SeanandKristaSmith.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Sean and Krista Smith Ministries. We would love to hear from you on how this podcast has impacted you, so be sure to show us some love.
So Keep It 100 Tribe, so glad that you joined us. Join us on our next episode of Keep It 100. And remember, relief may change your circumstance, but a revelation will change you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Keep It 100 podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Keep up with us on Facebook and Instagram and SeanandKristaSmith.com, where you can discover more resources. If this podcast has impacted you, please subscribe and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep It 100.